So today on this third Sunday of Advent, we celebrate Gaudete Sunday. And Gaudete means rejoice. That's why today we light the pink or the rose candle of our Advent wreath. And this color of pink or rose symbolizes joy. And our readings reflect the same theme of joy and rejoicing. Our first reading from the prophet Zephaniah begins by telling us, "Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart." And in our second reading, Paul tells the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice." Today, as we celebrate this Sunday of joy and rejoicing, I think it's worth taking a little bit of time and pondering exactly what is it that we mean by joy. If we look up the word joy in the dictionary, it defines us as intense and especially ecstatic or exultant happiness. Sounds good to me. I could use some of that, right? Don't we all really want to be happy? But what is it that really makes us happy? One of the best books that I've read on happiness was written by a Jesuit by the name of Father Robert Spitzer. Now, Father Spitzer was the president of Gonzaga University for a number of years, and he's one of those rare people who is very deeply studied in a variety of different areas, everything from physics to psychology and philosophy and theology. And he wrote in his book, Finding True Happiness, he talks about four different levels of happiness that we experience as human beings. Now, level one happiness, he calls immediate gratification. I'll call it material happiness. And we achieve material happiness through our senses, you know, through food, through drink, through shelter, through affection, and things like clothes and a house, a car, jewelry. As Father Spitzer describes it, I buy the Audi. I see the fine German engineering. I smell the leather seats, and I feel the handling as I drive through the curves, and I'm happy. Level one happiness is based on pleasure. Its duration, however, is immediate, but it's also very fleeting. You know, when that stimulation goes away, the happiness leaves with it. And it's not that there's anything wrong with this kind of happiness. God gave us good things to enjoy. However, when level one happiness becomes our dominant form of happiness, and that's what we seek, we very quickly feel feelings of emptiness, you know, kind of like there's something really missing. And so because we feel these feelings of emptiness, we go on and we look for level two happiness. Now, Father Spitzer defines level two happiness as comparative happiness. And this is one we need to pay a lot of attention, because according to Father Spitzer, 71% of us Americans have this as our dominant form of happiness that we seek. We achieve comparative happiness through accomplishment, by gaining some advantage, by achieving status, popularity, power, by people recognizing our intelligence or our athleticism, our beauty, by controlling things, by social media likes, by winning. Its goal is achievement, and it's focused on ourselves. And though its duration might be slightly longer term than that material happiness, it's only slightly. It's still very short term, you know. If we win, we have to keep winning, don't we? Right? We're never satisfied. Like material happiness, God gives us comparative happiness to serve a good purpose. This happiness can motivate us to develop those natural talents that he gave us, right? It's good stewardship to develop the gifts that God has given us. It allows us to build and to be everything that God made us to be. But there's two major problems if we're one of those 71% of Americans for whom this is our dominant form of happiness. Because first of all, we reduce our worth only to what we can achieve, right? And like material happiness, it leaves us feeling empty. You know, kind of like we're on that treadmill, running that rat race, always trying for that next win. Second, we can never actually win that comparison game. There's always somebody who's smarter than we are, somebody who's richer than we are, someone who's better looking with a better house and a nicer car. And our attempts to win actually become a barrier to having good relationships with those people. You know, we can't look for both the good news in somebody and also the bad news in somebody that will help make us feel better about ourselves. We lose the ability to empathize and recognize and appreciate the goodness and the gifts that God has given to that other person. We become envious. We may even rejoice in their failures. To break level two dominance, Father Spitzer recommends that we make an effort to look for the good in the others and to appreciate that good, to thank God for the gifts that others have, and spend time praying for their success. I found a prayer that's wonderful in helping to overcome that desire for level two happiness. It's called the Litany of Humility. And if you've never heard of that prayer or read that prayer, look it up. It's worth your time. It's a wonderful prayer. This brings us to level three happiness, contributive happiness. We find this happiness when we look for good beyond ourselves. Contributive happiness is at the root of love. We feel this when we work to make a positive difference in other people's lives, people in our family, our friends, our community, our church, our culture, or any other noble cause that seeks to lift people up. However, even contributive happiness has its limitations. God calls us to experience this, right, in serving one another, but we're all hardwired for something even more. We look for ultimate meaning in our lives. You know, we see the beauty of a sunset, and we long for ultimate beauty. We learn for truths, and we seek that perfect truth. We see an act of unselfish love, and we desire that complete and total love. Before Christianity even came onto the scene, the pagan philosopher Plato noticed this desire for something more, right, that nobody ever seemed to be able to find. And he described this as the natural human longing for the five transcendental goods: perfect truth, perfect love, perfect goodness, perfect beauty, and a perfect sense of being or home. This is level four happiness. We are made for this happiness. And we can only achieve this happiness through a relationship with God, who is perfect love, perfect truth, perfect goodness, perfect beauty, and that perfect sense of being or home. As St. Augustine wrote, in the early 5th century, "We are made for you, O God, and my heart is restless until it rests in you." This ultimate happiness is also not dependent upon our circumstances. We can experience this happiness, as the saints have proved through their lives, in both good times and in times of great difficulty or tragedy. No politics or pandemics or sorrow or any ill that can befall us can take this happiness away from us. This is the happiness that Paul is talking about in that second reading when he tells us, "Have no anxiety at all, but with everything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Isn't that what we all long for this Christmas season? The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. In our gospel today, John the Baptist encourages us to prepare ourselves for that joy of the near coming of Jesus by telling us, "One is coming who is mightier than I." And he tells us that his winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather his wheat into a barn. And to understand what a winnowing fan is, it's helpful to understand how people of that day used to harvest their crops. They'd cut down all of the wheat, and they'd put it on a big open area, right? And then they would beat it or trample on it. Sometimes they didn't walk their animals over it. And then they would come with a big wooden implement called a winnowing fan. It's like a big wooden rake, and they'd scoop down into it, and they'd throw it in the air, and they'd allow the wind to blow the chaff and the straw away, leaving only the grain. On this Gaudete Sunday, God invites us to receive that ultimate happiness that we all long for by joining him in prayer and putting our very lives down on his threshing floor and inviting him to come and use his winnowing fan to separate us from that pursuit of happiness through things, experiences, and achievement that will never be enough for us, but will only enslave us, so that we might be free this Christmas to live with Christ and live for Christ and receive from him that peace that surpasses all understanding in Jesus Christ himself.